Well, you can be turning to 2 Timothy chapter 2 if you would. I've been preaching a little series of messages from this chapter that I've entitled with the very words of Paul to Timothy in verse number 3, and that is a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It looks as though that whenever Paul was writing to Timothy that he is preparing him for the days ahead when he himself is going to be off the scene. And that is, he's been arrested and he is incarcerated in Rome. He's had a hearing already, and he knows that the time of his departure is at hand, that he's going to be executed in the near future. And he's getting Timothy ready for the days ahead. And so he tells him in verse number 1 that he needs to be strong. And that idea of being strong is something that God gives us. It's not physical strength, but it's talking about being strong in the grace or the gift that is in Christ Jesus. That is, it's a strength that flows out of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That it comes to us as a gift from God out of our relationship with Him. You can be strong or have the power of God upon your life, Timothy. That is, because of this relationship that you have with God through Christ, you can have the power of God on your life. And that's what you're going to need in the days ahead as you continue to serve and minister. And the reason why is because of the truth that needs to be taught. Verse number 2. That is, you need to take what it is that I've taught you and you need to teach it to others. You'll also be able to take it and commit it to others or teach it to others as well. So in order for Timothy to be able to teach God's truth in the kind of culture that he was teaching it in, that is, in the Roman Empire, where the Greek culture had permeated the people's hearts and minds, he was going to have the power of God on his life. But there not only was the truth that needs to be taught, we've been discovering there are battles that must be fought. And that is, as he takes the truth of God to those who do not know it, as he invades the devil's territory with God's truth, he is going to need the power of God upon his life. And the reason why is because the enemy is going to be against him. It's going to be a real battle, a battle for the truth, a battle for God's word. It's going to be a battle against the strongholds of the enemy. He's going to be in a real spiritual battle. That's why he needs to learn how to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. If you're going to be able to be what God wants you to be and teach the truth that God has given you, you need to be able to be a soldier. That is, you got to be able to do a real battle. And that's what he's explaining to him then in the rest of the chapter about how to do that, how to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. First of all, you have to be chosen to be a soldier. The Bible talks about that in verse number 4. We call that the election that is required. And not only that, but there is also the endurance that they're going to have to go through. According to verse number 3, he'll have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Those who do not endure will not continue to soldier. There's the enemy that I talked about, the world, the flesh, and the devil that is present. We are in a real battle against real enemies. There is the entanglement that is forbidden. If you're going to be a good soldier, according to verse 4, you cannot be entangled in the affairs of this life. There is the end that is desired. Good soldiers have one end, one goal that they desire, and that is to please Him who has chosen them to be a soldier. The pleasure of God becomes the pursuit of their life. I talked to you about the equipment that is provided. When the Bible tells us to be strong, God has provided for us, that is, by grace, the equipment to be able to be strong. And I spent some time talking about the equipment that God has provided for His soldiers. And then I began talking to you last Sunday about the essentials that are remembered. Verse number 8 begins with the word remember. And we began looking at those verses this past Lord's Day, last Sunday, and that is that if we're going to be good soldiers, then there are some things that we need to remember. That is, just like in the 1800s, they remembered the Alamo. Just like in the 1900s, they remembered Pearl Harbor. Just like our generation remembers 9/11. That is, those who are soldiers who are fighting for a cause, there are some things that are key or essential things that we need to remember. The same is true for those of you that are saved and are trying to teach God's truth and trying to reach people with the gospel. You're in a real battle. You're a real soldier. There's real spiritual warfare. There's the flesh in you. There's the world around you. There's the devil coming against you. And as a result, you're going to have to be strong. And one of the things that will help you be strong is by remembering those things that are the essentials. If you were here last Sunday, we looked in verse number 8 Sunday morning at the fact that you and I need to remember the Son of God. Remember that? Don't say no, because we're talking about remembering today. And I preached to you about remembering the Son of God, that He is of the seed of David, the promised King, that He's raised from the dead, that He is the gospel, that is, Jesus is. I talked to you about remembering the servant of God. Remembering the servant of God in verse number 9, the trouble that he went through and the truth that he preached, that is, he was in jail, but I tell you, the word of God is not bound. You can tie down this man, you can chain him down, you can put him in a jail, but you can't do that to the word of God. Amen. Don't you like that? Listen, you need to remember that. You need to remember the Son of God and the servant of God, and you need to remember the saints of God. In verse number 10, I preached to you a little while about it Sunday night, and that is that they are the ones that have been elected are chosen by God, and they are the ones that is the reason why Paul is enduring all of this suffering for them. And then we discover Wednesday night, we need to remember the sayings of God. In verses 11 through 13, there are these faithful sayings, little sayings that probably were memorized in the early church. Just little sayings, like you have little sayings that you say. They had little sayings in the early church that were based on God's truth. And he's telling them in verses 11 through 13 that you need to remember these faithful sayings. Timothy, don't forget these little faithful sayings and the truth that they represent. And so I want you to think with me for a few moments this morning about the fact that if you and I are going to remember those things that are essential as good servants or soldiers of Christ, then we also need to remember the scriptures of God as well. We not only need to remember the Son of God, we not only need to remember the servant of God, Paul, and the saints of God, and the sayings of God found here, but we need to remember the scriptures of God. Look at verse number 14. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them or commanding them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. And I'll stop there for just a little while. One of the things that you and I desperately need to remember, that is, if we're going to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, is we need to remember the scriptures. That is, we need to remember the word of God, the scriptures of God. You see, in verse 14, Paul is telling Timothy he needs to remind people, that is, the ones that he's ministering to, probably in Ephesus, he needs to remind them about the things that he has just written to him in this second chapter. That is, of these things, put them in remembrance. These things that he's just written. That is, when you read chapter number 1 and you read what we've seen so far in chapter number 2, he says, these are the things that you need to remind them of. In other words, everything that Paul has been writing to Timothy about so far in this book, that is, he needs to remind others about it. Now, the fact that Paul tells Timothy to remind them probably means that they have already been taught these truths. And that is, you usually we remind somebody of something that they should already know. They've already heard it or been exposed to it. Otherwise, they would not need a reminder if they were hearing it for the first time. So implied in that word remembrance is the fact that they probably already knew these truths, but they just needed to be reminded of them. You see, in Timothy's day, people must have been a little bit like you and I are. That is, people haven't changed that much. I mean, technology has changed. The way we live has changed, no doubt. But we ourselves haven't changed that much in the sense that we often tend to forget things. We forget things. Sometimes I'm that way. And sometimes I forget people's names and embarrass myself. So if I walk up to you and I shake your hand and I act like I don't know your name, instead of letting me stand there in embarrassment, just tell me again what your name is. Amen. Sometimes I'll forget somebody's name and embarrass myself. And sometimes, and by the way, I'm too ashamed to say I don't know your name most of the time, so help me if you would. Amen. And sometimes I forget what somebody has told me. Somebody tells me something, and as a result, I may miss an opportunity to minister to somebody. Somebody may walk up to me and say, Pastor, this is going on. If I don't write it down soon, after 2 or 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 or 10 people doing that, I might forget. Isn't that terrible that I would? But sometimes I forget what people tell me. Sometimes I forget that what Teresa has told me. And then I'm in real trouble, amen? Yeah, we tend to forget, don't we? And sometimes I have a tendency to forget things that I once knew. And that can cause a problem. Forgetting can cause a problem. You know, sometimes if a person is forgetting a lot, you might say, you know what, I think that person is developing a problem, right? And sometimes it is the signs of maybe a serious disease in a person's life. Whenever they begin to really forget a lot and can't remember a lot of things. And sometimes it's just a part of getting older, but it is a part of our life that is the problem of forgetting. And oftentimes it really does cause a problem. Well, even so, we as humans have a tendency to forget what we've been taught from the Bible. That's our tendency, to forget what it is we've been taught from the Word of God. And when you and I forget what we've been taught from the Bible, from the Word of God, it becomes a serious problem. And the reason why that it's a serious problem is because of the fact that I might make an unwise decision, having forgotten the biblical principle that should have guided me in that decision. I don't remember what it was. I've heard it before, I know, but I've forgotten what it was. So I make a decision that's not guided or based on a principle from the Scripture that I once knew, but then I forgot about it. So I make a bad decision because of that. Forgetting what we've been taught also has a tendency to open us up to false teaching that is prevalent in the day in which we live. And that's probably what Paul is really concerned about when he's writing to Timothy. And that is, there is indeed false teaching and false teachers that are present in the early New Testament church. Some of those false teachers have infiltrated into the life of the church. And others are in the culture around them. That is, those that are steeped in Greek philosophy and the impact that has on people's lives. It's in the culture around them. And also sometimes it is in the church within as well. And as a result of that, as a result of the prevalence of false teaching, it is even more important for you and I to remember what the Word of God says, to remember the Scriptures, what the Word of God teaches, so that we don't fall prey and are deceived by the false teaching that either could be in the religious realm, false teaching in churches, or it could be the false teaching that dominates the culture. And I say to you that we live in a culture that is dominated by false teaching. You and I live in a culture that is dominated by false teaching. That is in the culture that you and I live in. If you listen to the popular culture around you, you will be led astray. If you don't know the Word of God, you could be led astray by religious teachers as well that also appeal to the cultural masses and the cultural desires of our day. There is a lot of false teaching in our day, in the religious realm and also in the secular realm as well. And so it's really important for all of us, that is for our welfare and that of our families and that of our church family and that of our extended church into the future, to remember the Word of God and not forget what the Bible says and not to forget what the Bible means and to hold that dear to our lives. The importance of remembering is not something new, by the way. Whenever Moses was getting the Israelites ready to go into the promised land, in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses was gathered them together. And he began to remind them of all the things that God had done. The book of Deuteronomy sort of restates all that God did when he delivered them out of Israelite bondage and when God gave them the law at Mount Sinai and all that God had done. And it's near the end of that 40 years of wandering, and Moses gathers them together prior to the time that he also is taken to heaven, because Joshua is going to lead them into the land just to teach them and to remind them, just like we find that Paul is doing with Timothy here. He knows he's going to be leaving soon, and so he's getting him ready. He's preparing him. He's reminding him of the truths that he needs to be reminded of, and he's reminding him to remind others of the truths they've already been taught, just like we find that Moses did as well. As a matter of fact, it's in the book of Deuteronomy that he tells them how important it is to remember what God has said. For example, look in Deuteronomy chapter 4 for just a moment. I'll just show you a couple of verses. In Deuteronomy chapter number 4 and in verse number 9, here's what the Bible says. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 9, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. I like that verse, and the reason why is because it reminds me of 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 2, where Paul tells Timothy, you need to take what you've been taught and you need to teach it to others who will also be able to teach others as well. And that's exactly what Moses is doing right here in this verse. Teach this to your sons and then them to their sons' sons. Teach them to your kids and your grandkids. That is, those things that you have seen, those things that you've heard, that you've experienced. He says, never, ever, ever forget what God has done. Remember what God has done. Remember these 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Remember the law that revealed at Mount Sinai. Remember the Red Sea, the waters that divided. I know you're just a little fellow when that happened, but listen, you need to remember those things. Don't ever forget what God did when He brought you out. Don't forget about the blood on the doorpost. I know you're just a small little toddler, just a little child when that happened, but listen, remember it. Don't ever, ever forget what God did, and don't ever forget what God said. Don't forget. That's what he's telling us here. I believe God is trying to get that message across to us as well. When you go to Deuteronomy chapter number 6, you'll see this again. In Deuteronomy 6 and verse number 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And the idea of being in your heart is that you keep them, you remember them. They'll be in your heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house. When you sit in your house, talk about what God has said. And when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. In other words, he said, when you get up, talk about what God said. And when you go down to bed, talk about what God said. And when you're walking by the way, or in our day, riding in the car, talk about what God said. That is, just make it a normal course of your life. And thou shalt bind them as a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontless between thine eyes. Put the word of God right there on your hands and right between your eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. In other words, take the word of God and put it on your house and hang it on your walls so that you remember what the Bible says. And by the way, when you put that little plaque up on your wall, you ought to read it every once in a while. Amen. And write them then in your house. And then in verse number 10, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. When you go into the land and you've got houses that are full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou have eaten and be full, then beware. When you're finally in the land and you're reaping the crops that others have sown, and you're enjoying all the blessings of the land of Canaan, when you're finally there, beware, there is a danger, and here it is, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. In other words, Moses is saying, listen, there's a real present danger. It is the danger of forgetting. Forgetting what God has done. Forgetting what God has said. In other words, it looks as though that Moses knew human beings well enough to know that when you're finally in the land, that is, when the battle to take the land is over, when the walls of Jericho have come down and the battle is over and you've taken the land and you built your homes and you settled in and are enjoying the blessings and the benefits of the land, he says, and you kind of put it on cruise control in your life, he said, then there is the danger of forgetting. That's true in our life as well. It seems like when things kind of smooth out and things are just kind of going in a normal course of life for many people, it is then that you and I tend to forget what God saved us from. It is then that we forget how God brought us through. It is then that we forget how God was sufficient in all those wilderness wanderings. It's then that we forget about the manna that was on the ground. It's then that we forget about the water that was upon the rock. Folks, it is then those times that we forget about Moses and his grand leadership that he provided in our life. We just tend to forget about Mount Sinai and the smoke and the cloud and the word and the tablets. We forget about all of those things when things kind of smooth out. And I tell you that the Bible seems to indicate to us here, that's a dangerous position to be in. We need to be aware of it. He warns us again in chapter 8 of Deuteronomy as well. And verse number 10, Deuteronomy 8:10. Listen to what it says. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land that he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments, his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and silver and gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Watch out, because when you get your belly full, and when you get your bank account full, and everything's going well, and there's no real stress in your life, there's the danger of forgetting God's commandments, God's judgment, and what it is that God has said. A warning to Israel that they did not heed. Because they did forget God. Many years later, Jeremiah nailed them on this issue. Jeremiah chapter number 3, let me read it to you. He's announcing the judgment of God. By the way, my wife and I was talking about Jeremiah this morning, and we was talking about how the Jeremiah, that weeping prophet, was a man called of God. Nobody listened to him. Nobody heard. Nobody would follow his direction. Nobody would repent of their sins. He had what appeared to be a fruitless ministry. He was persecuted probably as much or more than any other prophet. But I tell you what he did. He was faithful to announce the judgment of God on a straying people. And in Jeremiah 3, in verse number 21, listen to what he told them. He said, a voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplication of the children of Israel. Here's why. Here's why there's going to be weeping. Here's why they'll be crying out someday. For they have perverted their way and have forgotten the Lord their God. That's right. Israel, invaded by the Assyrians, Judah, the Babylonians. Say, why is it? Because they forgot God. They forgot the Word of God. They forgot the print. They knew, they were taught, they had the law. But they abandoned, they turned away from it. They, as the Bible says in the next verse, Jeremiah said that they were backsliding children. Backslid and turned away. They forgot God's ways. Not only is that true of Israel, but it's true of every nation, every culture. Here's what the Bible says in Psalm 9:17: the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget the Lord. That's right. It's important to remember. For the nation of Israel, the survival of the nation depended on them remembering what God said and responding to it. Same is true with our culture, our nation, and you and I as individuals. We're warned about this in the New Testament as well. Let me just remind you, since we're talking about remembering, of a few New Testament verses. For example, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2 and verse number 1, the Bible says that, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. The idea of giving earnest heed to the things that we have heard is you and I need to pay careful attention and focus our attention to the truth that we have heard, the Word of God that we know, lest at any time, the Bible says, we should let them slip. And that little word slip is the idea of a boat that is sort of unanchored and just floating away. Yeah, it's the idea of somebody that is floating away from God, what God has said. For most of us, it is not a sudden move away from the Word of God. It is a slow drift away from what God has said, what it is that He's revealed in His Word, the truth that you know, just letting it slip away from you. James writes about it in James chapter number 1 and verse number 25, where he writes this: whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The idea seems to be this. There's a warning there that when you and I look into the Word of God, not to forget what it was that we have seen, what it is that we've been exposed to. The Word of God is compared like to a mirror. And he said, when you look into that mirror, it's important to remember what it is that you have seen in that mirror and not forget. It'd be like you getting up in the morning. If you look like anything I do in the morning, you might want to straighten a couple of things out before you leave the house. Amen. And if you look in the mirror and you say, oh, I look awful, and you forget how awful you look, and you go out and do whatever your business is, and people are looking at you funny, there's a good reason why. Sure, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah. Even so, You put yourself in a bad position when you've looked into the Word, when you've heard it, and you forget it. And go on your merry life, disregarding, not paying attention to, not remembering the truth that the Bible teaches. Peter warned about this in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 12. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Peter said, the reason why that I'm writing this second letter to you is because if I didn't, I would be negligent. Negligent not to remind you of these things. Though you know them and be established in the present truth, even though you know these things, he said, my responsibility is to remind you. Yea, I think it meet. As long as I'm in this tabernacle, that is, Peter's saying, as long as I'm alive, then it's necessary to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Don't you like that? Now I like that. And the reason why is because really my life, and that is as a pastor, really my job is just to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Now, I've stirred a few people up over the years. But I hope it's helpful stirring, amen? By putting people in remembrance of what God has said. He said, knowing shortly I must put off this tabernacle, verse 14, even as our Lord Jesus has showed me. Apparently the Lord showed Peter that he was going to be leaving this life soon. He's going to be dying soon. And he said in verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Don't you like that? Peter said, listen, God's already showed me I'm getting ready to leave soon. And so my purpose is so that after I'm gone, you'll never forget these things. And so I'm going to put you in remembrance. I'm going to stir you up one more time by reminding you. Now listen, that's important. The problem of forgetting what we've been taught from the Bible is a problem that all of us struggle with. If any person in this room could remember everything that we've been taught from the Bible, we would be walking Bibles. Some of you have heard hundreds. Some of you have heard probably thousands of sermons and Bible studies through the years. If you remembered everything you'd heard, you would be a walking Bible. But most of us are not. The reason why is because, not because we haven't been taught, it's because we haven't remembered what it is we've been taught. As a matter of fact, most of us would probably be embarrassed if I asked for folks to stand and share the last three messages and what you learned from those Bible studies you've been a part of. Because we forget. You know what you'd be? You'd be on your phone. You're going to the website listening to the last three messages, right? Trying to remember what it was about. You know it's about a good soldier of Jesus Christ, but what did I say? So that's the reason why a lot of ministry is just about reminding people of God's truths. Truths that we've already been taught, that we already know. Truths that Paul has written to Timothy about. These are not new truths. That is, these are truths that most New Testament believers have been taught, but apparently they have forgotten. So Paul tells Timothy here, you need to remind the people of these truths. If you and I are going to remember the Scriptures, that is, if you and I are going to remember the Word of God, then let me just say this. There are some distractions that we must avoid. There are some distractions that we must avoid if we're going to remember the Word of God. The rest of this verse describes that to us. Let's go back to our text now and notice with me what the Bible says in verse number 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Notice with me here that he tells him to charge them. The idea of a charge, that word charge there in verse 14 is a very strong verb that is commanding something that is very important. It's a very important command. Paul is using this word here to tell Timothy that as he teaches the people, he needs to issue a serious and stern warning. The seriousness of the warning is also reinforced by the fact that when Paul tells Timothy here to charge them, he uses that little phrase, before the Lord, charge them before the Lord. That little phrase, before the Lord or in the presence of the Lord, is one that you'll see Paul using here in 1 Timothy as well, again in 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 1. He uses it to add even more seriousness to what it is that he's saying. That is, this is a warning to be given in the presence of God so that God knows you've been warned. God is present. He knows that you've been warned. It adds even more seriousness to the warning that he has given them. The particular warning that Paul wants Timothy to issue to the people of God is that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. That little word strive there in verse number 14, it means to quarrel, it means to argue, and it means to wrestle. In other words, Timothy needs to warn God's people not to get caught up in arguments about words. The wrestling of words, it carries the idea of a warning about a war of words, waging a war of words. You'll see it again in verse number 24 that we'll get to at another time. The servant of the Lord must not strive. Must not strive, must not get caught up in striving, and here striving about words. In other words, let me clarify what Paul is and is not referring to here, and that is, first of all, he's not talking about sincere, honest people who try to sit down and discuss what the Bible reveals. He's not saying that those who have different viewpoints about biblical topics should never sit down and discuss those issues. That's not what he's saying. Discussing what the Bible says, even in areas where there's disagreement, can be very helpful. But what Paul is writing about here is striving about words, and then those three little words, to no profit. Striving about words to no profit. Or in other words, he's referring to arguing about ideas and philosophies and viewpoints that's not going to help anything or anyone. You see it again in verse 23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do gender strifes. Do you see that? You see it in 1 Peter as well. In chapter 1 and verse number 4, the Bible says, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister or just stir up questions rather than godly edifying which is in the faith. In other words, stay away from that stuff that's just going to stir up strife and questions and doesn't edify or build up. You'll see it again in 1 Timothy 6. In verse number 3, where the Bible says, if any man teach otherwise, that is other than what Paul has revealed in the Word, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, if that's true, then that person is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words. And out of that, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. He said, from such withdraw yourself. I'll tell you, Timothy, that crowd, you just need to stay away from them. Don't get caught up in that crowd. Don't try to argue the war of words with that crowd. That's what he's saying. You see it again in Titus 3 and verse number 9. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. So don't get caught up in these arguments, this war of words that doesn't profit, that doesn't edify, and that does not build up. Because instead of helping this kind of arguing, Timothy, it just subverts the hearers. In that little word, subverting, there's an interesting word in verse 14. It comes from a Greek word from which we get our word catastrophe. If you could see the Greek word transliterated in English, it's almost exactly catastrophe. It carries the idea of destruction and ruin. In other words, this kind of arguing that Paul is referring to here, this wrestling that he's referring to here, is that which brings ruin and destruction to people. By the way, the only other time that this Greek word is used in the New Testament is when Peter used it in 2 Peter 2:6, when he wrote about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. In other words, there are things that will destroy people, and in particular, they will destroy their faith, it'll destroy their confidence, it'll destroy their walk with God. If they're lost, it may destroy them for all eternity. That is, it will blind them to the truth and turn them away from the truth. And so he said, you need to stay away from that kind of stuff. This is a serious issue. We're talking about the destruction of people's lives. Paul's not specific here in verse 14 about exactly what he had in mind when he talks about striving about words that subvert or destroy those who hear it. But the context seems to indicate he is referring to false teaching. Just as in our day, there were those in Timothy's day who had turned away from the clear teaching of the apostles and had developed arguments to prove other beliefs and doctrines. And these teachings had enough Bible language included with them so that it was appealing to God's people, and the false teachers had developed their arguments in a convincing way. For example, one of the arguments that Paul exposes in verse 18 that we'll deal with at another time is that the resurrection has already happened. There were those who were teaching the resurrection has already happened. And apparently in verse 18, some who had heard this teaching had suffered serious damage to their faith. As a matter of fact, if there is no bodily resurrection to come, then Paul argues in 1 Corinthians 15 that everything that we have believed is actually in vain. These are real enemies of the truth that he's talking about here. And he's telling Timothy not to get caught up in their arguments. To avoid the destructive results of false teaching, Paul tells Timothy, warn the people and remind them of the word of God so that they do not get caught up in these verbal arguments that can lead to destruction in their life. Listen, there are people not only that are being destroyed by false religious teaching in our day, and there are. Listen, you can turn on the radio at any time or the television at any time or go to any church in our area and you can see destructive teaching in the name of the Bible that is going on. Just stuff that doesn't line up with this truth. Do you know there are people that don't even believe the Bible is divinely inspired, that it really is the Word of God? There are those who believe that there are other ways of salvation other than the cross and the resurrection. Do you know that there are those who do not hold to the exclusivity of the gospel, Jesus Christ? Do you know you can hear a sermon about how to get rich and never hear about the riches that are found in Christ? I'm talking to you about the false teaching that has permeated our day, our pulpits, our churches across our land, and people that sit in Baptist churches who've heard the Word of God and other churches where they've heard the truth are getting sucked into this kind of false teaching in our day. And so you need to remember what God has said so that you are not convinced and swayed by the clever arguments of the false teachers of our day. There are many people that man the pulpits across our country and in our community that do not even know what salvation is. Have no idea what it means to be convicted by the Holy Ghost of God and brought to a point of brokenness over sin and to the point where all you have is the cross and Jesus and clinging to the cross and trusting in Him alone. They would teach a message that says if you walk that aisle and repeat that prayer and they give you works to do so that you can trust in what you've done and never get to the cross. So you need to remember this book and know what it says. So you know what salvation is. So you know who God is. So you know the revelation that's been given to us and why Christ had to come and die on that cross and shed His blood for us. And that in His blood and in His life that was given, only is salvation and in nothing else and nothing that I can do. Not even a good thing that I can do. Nothing. Don't get swayed by those arguments of our day. It's not just a religious false teaching. The culture is lying to you and your kids. Lying. And they're chasing after a rainbow. And there is no pot of gold at the end of it. Just emptiness, emptiness, and more emptiness, and more emptiness. That I'll find that if you can find fulfillment and joy and happiness in life, life is about this. The message that's being communicated, and you can put in any number of things. The culture is lying to us. The message. And I tell you that there are many people who go to church every Sunday that have already been sucked up into the lie. Have embraced it and believe it. Those who are really good soldiers, they know the truth, they remember the truth, and they keep reminding others of the truth. That is the Scriptures, what God has said in His revelation to us in the Word of God. Timothy, don't get pulled into these arguments. Don't let those you're teaching remind them, remind them, remind them, remind them of the truth. What you have heard from the Bible being taught, that's true. remind them of that truth. If you're going to be a good soldier, there are some essentials that you have to remember. You've got to remember the Scriptures, what God has said. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Thank You for Your Word, what You're trying to get across to us. I pray, Father, for those who are drifting away from Your Word, from Your truth, Father, that are appealing to the secular society that we live in, God, that have been caught up in the greed of our society, God, have believed the lie. I pray that You would, Father, expose and reveal and draw those persons to Yourself. God, thank You. You've given us an accurate revelation of Yourself to us in the Bible, in Scriptures. And I pray, God, that You would help us to remember it. God, would You do Your work in the hearts of those that are lost, have never come to Christ, don't know Him, that they would realize that eternity hangs in the balance, that hell awaits them without Christ, that it's a real place. The only escape from divine judgment is the cross. Would You bring them to Christ, to the cross, to rest in Him? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.